turn to Acts chapter 28. Acts chapter 28. Let's begin reading in verse 7. It says, in the same quarters. Now, we're at Melita, modern-day Malta. And there, Paul and Luke and Aristarchus have been shipwrecked there, along with the Roman centurion and Roman soldiers and many prisoners. And they're on their way to Rome, and they've been shipwrecked there. And you know, the barbarous people on this island had shown them great kindness. And when they saw this viper bite Paul and no harm came to Paul, they said, this man's a god. Well, in the same quarters, in the same neighborhood, right there where they were, there was a man were possessions at a state of the chief man of the island. Some say he was the governor, maybe a Roman governor. His name implies that. His name's a Roman name, Publius. He received us, and he lodged us 3 days courteously. And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, others also which had diseases in the island came and were healed, who also honored us with many honors. And when we departed, they laded us with such things as were necessary. And after 3 months, we departed in a ship of Alexandria, who had wintered in the isle, whose sign was Castor and Pollux. This was an idol gods that those Egyptians and folks worship, gods of the sea, they called them. And landing at Syracuse, we tarried there 3 days. And from thence we fetched a compass and came to Rhegium. And after 1 day, the south wind blew, and we came the next day to Puteoli, where we found brethren and were desired. These brethren desired them to tarry with them 7 days. And so we went toward Rome. And from thence, when the brethren heard of us, brethren at Rome, they came to meet us as far as Appii Forum and the Three Taverns. These were two places. One was a little closer, and one was, they had to travel further. But they came there to meet Paul and Luke and Aristarchus, these brethren of theirs, and whom when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage. Now, when God heals a sinner, He gives a new spirit. And the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. And the very bearing, God is love. And the very indwelling of the Spirit of God is love. It's there's life, there's love. Where there's life, there's love. And when a sinner is born of God, he loves God, and he loves those that are begotten of God. It's the same spirit in each of us that are born of God. And that's so. And so this love of God is just that. It's a love for God. It's a love of God our Savior, of Christ Jesus, our Redeemer. It's a desire to for others, our brethren, and for other sinners to hear of our God and to hear of His mighty works. It's a desire and a longing that other sinners might be healed by this same great physician that healed us, that they might know the same peace that we have. This is the love of God. This is the love of God in our hearts, and this is how it's manifest. We love God, and we love our brethren, and we have a longing, a desire for. We know there's others whom our God has chosen and put in Christ, and they'll hear, and they're going to hear through this same word of the gospel that we heard it through, and we long for them to hear. Well, that was the case with Paul. Now, these folks at Malta had just got through saying, and started to think when they saw this viper bite Paul and no harm come to him, they began to think he's a god. Now, I read that scripture to you at Acts 14 where this had happened before. And Paul, in that case, he preached the gospel to them. Now, Luke doesn't tell us here that Paul preached the gospel to them. But, brethren, Paul preached the gospel to them. There's just no doubt about that. And here's the other thing that we know, is that the way that Paul healed this man, Publius's father, he didn't do it like he did before. Before, you remember, he was preaching and he beheld that the impotent man had faith to believe. God had begun a work in his heart, and he perceived that. And he said, right there in front of them all, he said, "Stand up and walk." And that man stood up and walked. And when he did that, everybody there, being idolaters and superstitious, they bowed down and started worshiping Paul and Barnabas. Well, here, they've already started thinking Paul's a god. And so the way that Paul does this is he bowed himself to God. Look there. It says, "It came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him." Now, Paul is praying. He's manifesting just what he always preached, that he didn't have the power to save anybody. He cast this man upon the mercy of God, into the hands of Christ, the great physician, to do with him as he would, and asking God to heal this man. And he did this in doing so, not only in the gospel that Paul preached, but in what he was doing here. He was showing these people, "I don't have any power to save anybody. I'm not a God. My God is the God. Christ is the physician." And when God heals somebody, this is what we want others to know. We don't want them to be looking at us. We want them to hear Him and know this, to the praise of the glory of His grace. He's made us accepted in the blood. That's what we want others to know. It's not my will, it's God's will. It's not my works, it's God's works I want you to behold. It's not my prayer, it's God to whom I pray, Christ to whom I pray, that I want you to behold, that He's the one doing the work. It's not my glory, it's God's glory. It's not my praise, it's God I want to see you praise. And that's the same with everyone born of the Spirit of God. That's what we want. That's what we want for you, our children, to behold, to know. Here's why we want this, and here's what God was bearing witness of, the power of God. Because the problem is sickness of sin. That's the problem. And we see a good example of our sin sickness in this man. This man lay sick. That means he was disabled. It means by this sickness, he was unable to do anything. He was unable to help himself. He was unable to do a thing. This man was laying sick. And the emphasis here that is given is to show just how dire this sickness was. It says he lay sick of a fever. He had multiple symptoms. He had a fever, a fiery heat. And that's the problem with the nature of all of God's children that He saves. The problem by nature is they have a fiery heat, an anger, an enmity against God. That's what the heart is by nature. And this man had a bloody flux. That's a dysentery. It's in the bowels. And the bowels throughout Scripture are used to describe the inner man, the innermost part of a man. And that's what this man had. He had a bacteria, he had a parasite, he had dysentery. And it caused him this horrible, horrible problem. From the sole of the foot, the Lord said, to the crown of the head, there's no soundness in it. There's no soundness in us. There's wounds, there's bruises, there's putrefying sores. They haven't been bound up, and there's none that can bind them up. They haven't been mollified with ointment, and there's none that can apply an ointment to heal these things. And when I was thinking of this, and quite literally, this is similar to what you had, Sarah. This was like a Crohn's disease, and you think how sick Sarah was. Who were here when she was sick, and Scott and Christine can tell you about this. I've heard the story. Sarah, you couldn't do anything to help yourself. Sick unto death. And that's the case with this man right here. And that's the case with every sinner. Just that sick all the time by nature. That's what we are. But the healer, this is the second thing, the healer, it's Jesus Christ. He's the great physician. Look here at verse 8. We see how the Lord heals through Paul. As we look at Paul, we see an example as we look here at the work of the triune God in healing His children through Christ, the great physician. Look at what Paul did. To whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. You know how God saves? You know how the triune God of glory saves in Christ? You know how Christ is the great physician? He saves by entering in. That's how He saves. He entered into an everlasting covenant. Paul prayed. That means he interceded on this man's behalf. He stood between God and this helpless man. That's what He did. That's what we see Him doing here. And that's what Christ has been and has done since the Father entrusted His children to Him before He ever made time. That's what Christ has been, and that's what He's done ever since. He's made a high priest not by carnal commandment, by the power of an endless life. He ever liveth to make intercession. You know, the Scripture says, it says, by so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. Everything we know about a mediator and an intercessor, about one who stands between God and the sinner, and who intercedes, who represents that sinner to God. That's what intercession is, representing that helpless one who can't represent himself, bringing him to God. Christ is that by His presence with God. And from the time, you're speaking of eternity, so we just can speak in time. We say from the time that He entered in as surety, His very presence has been the intercessor. He is that intercessor. All we know about this is the law of Moses, because God gave us a priest, a high priest, and He showed us through that, and He gave us an example of that. But you know that Christ is not patterned after that high priest. That high priest was patterned after Christ. The Lord said when Moses came up into the mount, He said, "Be sure, Moses, you make everything after the pattern you've seen in the mount." A tree, the law was a shadow of good things to come. But an object, a tree, makes a shadow. Well, that law was the shadow. But that shadow came from the object, from Christ, from God our Savior, Christ our God Himself. And it was saying what He was going to do when He came in time, and what He has done and where he is now, what he's doing now. This is the mystery. God's purpose is in himself. God hadn't trusted anything to the sinner. He's done all in himself. And God entered into a promise with God, and God can't lie. That's the whole glorious good news of this healing. And his children have been accepted in the Beloved ever since God put them in him, in the Beloved. They've been holy and without blame before him in love ever since he put them in Christ. And even when sin entered in, he beheld Christ. And there's the intercessor. There's the intercession. There's the mediation. God being pleased with his Son. Even before his Son came and did, he's the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. That's what Ephesians 1:3-6 is telling us. He blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, in Christ, according as he chose us in him before the world began, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And right then, he, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself, what a possibility it wasn't going to happen. He had done it then. And so he, wherein, in all of that blessing then, he made us accepted in the Beloved. In the fullness of time, God the Son entered this world. He entered in. He did what he said he'd do. God, who can't lie, did what he said he'd do. He entered in. He entered in the world. And he entered into flesh that his children were. He entered in under the law. Now listen, not under the curse, not at first. He entered in under the law without sin. Completely without sin. He didn't enter under the curse at first. He entered in under the law without sin, not under the curse, and he lived his life from the womb, from conception, manifesting he is the faithful one. The faithful one. And then Christ entered in. He became the sin of his children. Paul entered in. That's how he was, this one was saved. He prayed. He interceded. That's how this sin-sick, sin-dead, picture of a sin-dead dead sinner here. That's how he was healed. Christ entered in. He was then made a curse willingly for his children. After he manifests he is the faithful one, he willingly was made a curse, made the curse of sin for his people. He was willingly made sin for us who knew no sin. And God entered into judgment with him. With him. God satisfying God. Christ doing a work on behalf of a people who lay sick who couldn't do anything for themselves. And he did the work. God satisfied God. That's our gospel. This is the work of God. This is the salvation we're declaring. Christ entered into death. The death of his people. He entered into the grave. This is how he's the great physician. He entered into death. He died the death his children owed. Let me say one transgression. For one transgression. For one transgression. Justice demanded one death. When you were conceived in sin, justice, when you were given physical life, and in that physical life were made sin, conceived in sin, justice right then demanded you die. Just once, that's all, just once. Just once. One transgression, one death. That's all. That's all. Look over at Romans 6. Christ died that death. Christ died that death for his children. And now, justice says the death that they owed is satisfied. It's happened eternally. They died. They don't owe it anymore. Look at what the Lord says. Paul says through Spirit of God. Romans 6:8. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, being dead, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over Him. For in that He died unto sin once. And so, it just requires one death. But that's something me and you can't pay. But once He died once, but in that He liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. You believe God? You believe Christ died your death? And reckon yourself to have died that death. It's done. But alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in the lust thereof. He entered into that death. And then the Redeemer, turn over to Hebrews 9. The Redeemer entered into resurrection glory with His Father. It just said He died one death. It said now He lives. And that life He lives is forever. He entered in. See Paul entering in. See how we see Christ. Everything Christ did. Our God, our great physician. Christ, our physician. He did it by entering in. Look here at Hebrews 9:12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood He entered in. One time into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Look over at verse 24. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that He should offer Himself often as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then He must have often suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once, in the end of the world, hath He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation. He entered in. Now, God our Savior, Christ Jesus, when He saved, when He heals a sinner, He does what Paul did here. He enters into that sinner through the Holy Spirit. And He heals them. He lays hold of them with His hand of omnipotent grace, of all power, of irresistible grace. Just as Paul laid His hands on this man, and He enters in and He heals. And this is what He makes manifest. Look at Romans 8:1. To your right there. Romans 8, look at verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. How do I walk after the Spirit? When the Spirit enters in, you're led of the Spirit. You have life now, and you walk after the Spirit. You can't help it. It's what you're alive. You're alive. Now look here, that's what He said. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Free from it. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, in other words, I couldn't do anything. I could not do what God demanded. My flesh. I was like this Publius' father. I lay sick and couldn't do anything. God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Because He entered in to a covenant. He entered into this world. And for sin, He entered into the sin we are. And then He entered into the death we are. And look here, He condemned sin in the flesh. He died the death. He put an end to death for His people. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, in whom He's entered. By His Spirit. That's who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. See that? You know, it's interesting to me. Dysentery. I looked this up today because I wanted to see just what I could find out about this disease, dysentery. You know how this dysentery, one of the ways that it's, how it's treated is rehydration. Water. Water. You know how God heals His people? Through the Spirit of God and the water of the Word. That's how He heals us from this disease. And then doctors, earthly physicians, healed this disease one symptom at a time. Christ healed this man all at one time. Healed him. When Christ enters in and He's worked this work of grace in the heart, He makes us to behold, we're healed. We're healed. I see sin in me, and I see that there's still a lot yet to be done. But I behold Him, and in Him, I'm healed. Every whit whole. Every whit whole. James said, the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he's committed sins, they'll be forgiven him. You see what Paul's doing here? He loved God, and he wants God to receive all the glory. And he loves his brethren, and he wants God's children, those who are yet laying sick and of a fit. He wants them to behold Christ. And he enters in here. He enters in here, and he's saying, this power's not of me. It's not of my prayer. It's not of me. It's of Him who heals. It's of Him who forgives sickness. And this is the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith laying everything, just laying down and saying, Lord, if you will, make them whole. Make them whole. That is the prayer of faith. That's what you prayed, wasn't it? When Sarah was sick. Because you was brought to the end of yourself and you knew, we can't do this. Well, that's where we are as believers with every sin-dead sinner. With our children as they suffer from a disease far worse than any bodily infirmity. We just pray, Lord. And this is where we are with one another. When something with one another, this is where we are. We do the same. We don't stop doing this. We're always here. We're always at Christ's feet, trying to bear witness to one another. And we're always praying to God for one another. And we're always trusting Him to do it. Because He's the only one that can heal and forgive sickness, or forgive sin. Well, here's the third thing. The first thing we saw is the sickness, the sin. The second thing we saw is Christ is the great physician. Here's the third thing. The effectual result of His healing is love. It is love. Love for God. This healing, because Paul had experienced this healing himself by the great physician, that's what made Paul bear witness of Christ. That's what made him lift up Christ in his preaching. That's what God did here in healing this man. He lifted up, he bore witness of Christ whom Paul declared. That's what he lifted up Christ on the cross. He lifted up Christ to glory because he's satisfied with his Son. He lifts him up in the gospel we preach through the Spirit of God, through the preaching of his gospel. And Christ said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all my redeemed unto me. That's what happened here. And look what was the result. Verse 9. So when this was done, others also which had diseases in the island came and were healed. When he makes us to know that he's the physician, and he makes us to know we're sick, that's when we'll come. When we behold Christ on the cross, we behold how bad our disease is. I don't mean just have a historical belief, faith in Christ. I mean when we behold Christ on the cross, we behold how bad our own sickness is. And that's when we come to Him. When we behold Him on the throne, we behold how great the cure is. And that's when we'll come to Him. And as long as we don't think we're sick, we don't think we're diseased, we think we're righteous, we won't come to Him. Look at Mark chapter 2. Turn to your left there. Mark chapter 2. That's what the Lord said. Pharisees weren't sick. Mark 2, verse 16. When the scribes and the Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and with sinners, they said unto his disciples, "How is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners?" Look what he said. When Jesus heard, he saith unto them, "They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous." I didn't come to call people who think they're whole, but sinners to repentance. That's who he came to call. That's who he heals. Sinners. And those who come to him, they're healed. Everybody that comes to him, he heals them. When they beheld him and they beheld their disease, they came to him and they were healed. That's the picture we have here. And this he gives us love. When he gives us this love, then, brethren, then we do like Paul did. We won't say, when people give us gifts, as these barbarous people did, and then they turn around and say, "Oh, you're as a god." We don't swell up with pride and be have our thoughts polluted by some gift and swell up with pride and say, "Oh, yes, you see God in me. That's to say we're a god." Paul said, no. He laid down and said, "Lord, heal this man. I can't heal him. Show this people, Lord. Bear witness of Christ whom I preach that it's Christ that heals. It's God who heals. Bear witness that you're the only one that can heal." That's what God did. That's the love of God in the heart. That's what the love of Christ constrains a man to do. He don't want folks anymore looking at him. He wants them looking at Christ. And here's something else he does. It says, verse 10, "Who also honored us with many honors, and when we departed, they laded us with such things as were necessary." Paul ladened them. Everywhere he went, Paul ladened. He loaded up those that heard him with everything that was necessary. He didn't hold back anything. He loaded them up with the unsearchable riches of Christ, with the balm of Gilead, with the ointment of Christ, the great physician. He loaded them up with it. He honored God because he saw Christ. He saw he's the only one to be honored. He honored him. And he wanted him to have all the glory and all the praise, and he loaded up everybody he preached to with those things that were necessary. And when God uses that gospel and heals somebody, you know what he makes that? Just as he creates love for him, he creates love for our brethren, those that are begotten of him. And he causes us to honor those whom God used to bring honor to himself. And he causes us to give honor to where honor's due and to thank them and be thankful for them because God used them. We're thankful for the God they preach. We're thankful for the Christ they proclaim. We honor them because of the witness they bore to us. They are the only ones that ever would tell us the truth. They loaded us up with things necessary. And that love of Christ that is in the heart of the believer causes that believer then to want to load them up with everything that's necessary. That's right. That's what we see here. Do you see that? Do you see that? Well, the Lord says, "Them that honor me, I will honor. And they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed." Paul honored him. Paul honored him. God honored Paul. I think he saved some people here on this island. I think they honored Paul because Paul honored Christ. They had to love God in their heart. He said, "He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet, the name of Christ who sent him. That's what it means. That's what Publius did here. He received him and treated him courteously. And it says he'll receive a prophet's reward. He that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man receive a righteous man's reward. When his father was sick, God healed him. You know what that's basically saying, just in a nutshell? The Lord said, when you come into a man's house with this gospel, when he sent the disciples to preach, he said, when you come into a man's house, if he receives you, continue with him. And the Lord would use that gospel to heal some. He said, if he won't receive you, shake the dust off your feet and leave him alone. And the Lord said, better for you if you receive my prophets and hear their gospel and rejoice in them, because it's through them, through my gospel, I'm going to heal some sinners. That's what he's saying. And them that honor me, I'm going to honor. I'm going to honor. We won't do it unless he gives us grace, but he does it, we will. And then it causes the love of Christ is to want to be with the brethren. I'll just hit this and we're done. Verse 14, they got to those brethren there at that place, Petuli, and they found brethren, and were desired. Those brethren said, stay here with us. Stay here with us 7 days. They stayed there. They stayed there with them. They wanted them to. And then look at those brethren down there in verse 15. They came to those two places from Rome as soon as they heard Paul had landed, and because they wanted to see him. They couldn't wait for him to get to them. They went out there to help him get to them. And you know what this love does? It says, when Paul saw, he thanked God and he took courage. God uses this to encourage his brethren. Encourage one another. Isn't that a great physician? Isn't that great healing that he does? The Lord said this in Jeremiah, is there no balm in Gilead? He said, is there no physician there? He said, why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? In other words, there is balm in Gilead. There is a great physician there. Why then are you still sick? Why then are you still suffering? Sick? Do you know you have a disease? You need him. You need the physician. He said, come to me and I'll heal you. I'll make you ever whole. If you come to him, he's come to you. He's entered in. He's already made you whole. And he'll make you whole. He'll make you to behold how whole you are. That's what I pray he'll do. Amen.